Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. I'm glad you could join us this morning. Today, we're going to work in the Bullies to Buddies workbook, but I chose to open the workbook again, even though we've been through it twice now, and I think we've learned a lot from it. And as most of you know, it goes by the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. And for me, it means a lot, and it makes perfect sense. I always have believed that you should treat people the way you want them to treat you. And it sets a precedent, just like any other way of making yourself understood sets a precedent for a conversation. You have lots of aggression in our world today. Lots and lots of aggression. Let's talk a little bit about aggression. I want to bring Shelley in, though, first. But I wanted to let you know that we're going to talk about some of the things in the workbook. And we're going to bring in this adoption case with Gentle Care and my friend Carrie. I talked about it months ago. She came to me when all of this happened. We have never seen each other in person, but she was one of the many supporters of my grandson, and we've stayed very friendly. She lives in Ohio, and her life has been turned upside down. And she's being bullied. She's being bullied by an adoption agency. And bullying in its worst form. So let's bring Shell in so that we can talk about this, because I'm hoping tomorrow, if she's available, she will join us on the show so that we can get some more information so that people are aware. I think it's really important, because until this happened, I thought adoption agencies were good things. And indeed, I'm sure there still are some that are good things. But it did open my eyes to lots of issues. So, good morning, Miss Shelley. How are you?
Good morning, Rainey. You're doing very well, hon.
That's good. That's good. Well, you know, I looked through the workbook this morning, and I kind of went into chapters that I think pertain to grown-up issues about our everyday dealings with people, with everything we do. If you are late with a payment to FP&L, they turn off your power. And if the power is off due to a thunderstorm, they certainly work to turn your power back on. But you don't get a discount. If we have a hurricane and your power is off for 10 days, you rarely, I mean, there's usually some kind of an adjustment. I remember seeing one back in 2005 when we had all those hurricanes one after another, and they said that they did some adjustment on people's bills and stuff like that, but they also had to recoup their losses for the repairs that they made. But that's, in a way, a source of bullying. Bullying often happens with the person that believes they are in charge. They're the powerful ones. And I think that we've learned that that's not always true. Sometimes it can be an adorable, cute little girl that's a bully, who's five and looks like Shirley Temple, you know. But on the whole, as we reach adulthood, as we get into the the life of living, if you will, as an adult, we get bullied every day in lots of different arenas. We get told what we have to do. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You do it our way or you won't have any electricity. You do it our way or you won't have cable television. You do it our way or you won't have a cell phone. In a sense, that's you know, not the kind of bullying that we talk about all the time, but it still kind of is a power, a fight for power, king of the hill kind of a thing. So when I looked through the book today, I saw lots of things that you and I have read before and we've talked about. And of course, one of the things that, you know, that you have to learn how to do as an adult is be a diplomat, right? How many times have you and I, just you and I personally, had a conversation about diplomacy?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Many, right? Many.
Mm-hmm.
I am most of the time a diplomat. Not all the time, but most of the time I'm a diplomat because I realized at a very early age that I got a lot further with people by trying to see their side of the issue before I presented mine, trying to, you know, imagine why they were insisting what they were insisting to me, trying to get the, you know, the reality of a situation so that I understood it better. I've always tried to do those things. I'm not going to say that I'm always successful because that would be untrue, but I do try to do that. But the truth of the matter is sometimes it doesn't matter. Even if I do see another side of a story, I don't want to have my own way because I am a human being and that's how we are. But what we've learned to teach the kids and what we've been talking about for the last couple of years in regard to bullying is, of course, recognizing the difference between being bullied or being being harmed, being subjected to true abuse and violence, because there is a bit of a camouflage going on there in our outside world. People have a tendency to feel like, you know, being talked badly to is not where it stops. If somebody's hurting you, it's no longer bullying, it's abuse, and the enforcers need to be brought in. So that's true in the grown-up world, too.
Right, and
go
I think
ahead.
That's a good distinction to make. And we've talked about that before on the show. It's one of the it's one of the points that Izzy makes, is that there is a lot of confusion today, or a lot of you know, where people bullying is too big an umbrella, and it's being used to describe things that are actually criminal activity and abuse. There is a difference between bullying and abuse. Bullying is more annoyance. Now, bullying can tear you down if you respond to it, if you react to it. You know, if somebody's saying mean things to you and you take it to heart and you allow it to diminish your self-esteem, or if you allow it to make you afraid, or, you know, all these negative things that can happen to a person. But once it comes to actual harm, destruction of your property, people injuring you physically, that's abuse, that's criminal activity. And there really needs to be a distinction. I'm glad that Izzy goes there. I'm glad that he's made that point. But I think there's still there's more people in the bullying movement that don't make that distinction, and that will take somebody being beaten up on a bus and say that's being bullied. And that's not. That's a criminal activity. That's violence. And the increase in violence amongst teenagers is kind of alarming. That it is being labeled as bullying, because it's not. It's criminal. Hopefully the more it's talked about and the more that people make that distinction in their head, they won't react so lackadaisically about it. Because one of the problems is that a lot of times people will look at bullying as like a rite of passage, and that it's one way that kids grow up and, you know, and kind of get their, you know, build self-esteem, but not what we're seeing today. There's a big difference on, which is bullying, and being harmed and being made afraid to go to school or being made to feel so, you know, so downtrodden that, that they are losing their zest for life, you know. So it's and it happens in the adult world as well. Same thing. Sexual harassment.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Are two different things. You know, if you just have a boss who's a jerk and who doesn't know how to speak nicely to people and who's always insulting people, that's a bully. You get a boss who engages in sexual harassment or who threatens not to give you overtime that you're due because of one reason. In other words, if your livelihood is threatened or your job position or raises are threatened, that's no longer bullying. Those are criminal activities. And there has to be a distinction between bad behavior and people throwing out insults and being mean to you, which is bullying, and somebody actually doing things that are considered illegal. And when we blur those lines there, we start doing a disservice to people. When we start criminalizing true bullying, we're doing a disservice. And when we minimize people being hurt physically by calling it bullying, we're doing a disservice in the other direction.
Well, and that's, you know, that's exactly the whole issue. That's exactly the problem that we have before us. And it, as you age, as you become more involved in living your life, taking on jobs, taking on responsibilities, everything we do takes a certain amount of personal education. Buying a new car, opening a checking account, renting a home, buying a home. If you do not get the kind of counsel that is really needed to make some of those decisions without a little bit of education in regard to it, you often get bullied in those arenas as well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be recognized. It seems to be taken as a matter of fact. And that's what bothers me, and that's my biggest issue with what's happening with Carrie. And, of course, I feel this issue in a lot of different arenas, but Carrie's, I keep, she's been, her and some of her followers have been posting the baby's pictures, and it's heart-wrenching because they tried to sell him to a family, and that's what they tried to do is sell him for a very large amount of money. And when Carrie changed her mind in the 11th hour and they, you know, didn't respond, but when the adoptive parents found out all the issues, it scared them, and they didn't want to get any more attached to this baby and face the possibility of losing him.
Right.
So instead of gentle care, taking that opportunity to say, okay, this must be the way it's supposed to happen. I mean, that's where I would have been. If I put myself in the shoes of anybody in charge there, I would have thought to myself, okay, so what do I do from here? I can spend a whole lot more money and fight this lady who really wants her child, but to what end? If you're in that business, Shell, if you're in the business of placing children that can't stay with their birth parents for whatever reasons with another family, and you find out that the birth mother wants the child back, the adopted family doesn't want to stand in the way of that because they have an empathy in them, because they They know how they felt when they couldn't have their own child. You know, this, all these emotions and all these feelings are going on. The bully in this scenario is oblivious to all of those feelings.
That's right.
They are just trying to have their own way. Right? And that's what makes them the worst bully.
And sometimes bullies shoot themselves in the foot when you're talking about corporations, because if I was somebody that was considering putting my child up for adoption, and I saw all this in the in the media about how they conduct themselves, I wouldn't want to go with them, because I wouldn't want to have the same heart-wrenching experience if down the line something happened and I changed my mind. I'd want to go to somebody that had a more reputable reputation. So I don't understand why the adoption agency took the stance and the steps that they did. From a business standpoint, having nothing to do with the heart and things like this, this is a business, and you know, sometimes
mm-hmm.
you have to separate
mm-hmm.
yourself from the emotion. But from a business standpoint, I think they're making a very bad decision here. I don't understand how this is good policy, because because from a business standpoint, you want to have a clear reputation. And once everybody backed out and this woman showed that, number one, she wanted the child and she had the means to raise the child, there, I don't see any precedent for not to return the child to her, other than the fact that they had incurred some charges. There should be some sort of a fee schedule, because obviously they did put out some effort to conduct the adoption. So big deal. So they're not going to make $50,000. But what should happen in a case like that is that you figure out how much they spent on, you know, everything, and they have to be compensated for their time, you know, but then turn the baby back over. So it has
mm-hmm.
to be a minimal amount of money. But there should be some sort of a back-out clause where, like, if in the 11th hour you do this, you still owe us this amount of money because we expended effort to get your baby adopted. Now you changed your mind, so you owe us X amount of dollars. And that would be a good, sound business transaction, so they're not losing money, but they're also not, you know, they're also not preventing a family from getting together. People change their minds. So I'm not understanding the business structure. I'm not understanding why they think this is a good precedent to set. The whole thing doesn't make sense to me of how they're conducting themselves.
Well, now I get it. Now they're just trying to cover their own butt. Now they're just trying to make it look like they're right. If, you know, there's a misconception about that as well. If you give in, if you relent in a major disagreement, if all of a sudden you look up and say, you know what, I'm tired of fighting, you're right, I don't want to do this anymore, yes, you're right, I shouldn't have done that, you shouldn't have done this, but we did what we did, and I give up. So many people can't do that, honey. They can't do that. They can't let go of being right. And that's what I see all over this whole scenario with gentle care. If they say yes, then it trickles downhill to the young woman who interviewed Carrie from the very beginning and didn't do a good job. Then they have to accept responsibility for that, along with all the other things that they have to accept responsibility for. And I mean, what's the biggest argument that you get into on a daily basis? You're right and I'm wrong, or you're wrong and I'm right, right?
Right.
I mean, isn't that what most dissertations are about?
Yep.
I
and
think you're wrong.
Sometimes it's just different opinions, and yet people have to come to their opinions as though it's a right or wrong thing. I've heard arguments like that, and it's like, oh, my God, you know, just agree to disagree, for God's sake.
Exactly. And your scenario of, okay, Carrie made a mistake. She was lost. She was confused. And like many grown-ups, all of a sudden in her life, there was nobody that she felt like she could go to and get counsel, not an answer, because a lot of times we aren't looking for answers. We're looking for support, maybe a little approval, that kind of thing. And she didn't have anybody like that. She talks at length about losing her dad that same year, and it had put her in a place where we've all been. And she made, according to her, in her own words, some crappy decisions. Welcome to being a grown-up. So if they had managed this properly, you're right. There should have been some compensation for the time spent by gentle care that Carrie somehow, some way, would have had to managed. And this would have been over. The baby would have been in a family that would love him, and he'd be belonging to someone, and they'd be belonging to him, which is what we all want. Instead, he's in a foster home, maybe several, I don't know. Maybe he's getting, shuffled here and shuffled there, wherever they have room, whenever they have time, kind of a deal. I don't know what that situation is. But it's certainly not perfect for him, and it isn't really perfect for anybody else involved either. So, but this is one of our worst bullying scenarios in the world of grown-ups. But as I said, there's so many of them once you become a grown-up. In the workplace, you and I have talked about the workplace a lot. But again, people call me all the time, little things that they're trying to figure out what they're supposed to do. I didn't pay my taxes. And now IRS is sending me letters, and I'm afraid I'm going to, what can they do to me? I said, I always tell them, I've been there, done that. I remember being on overload with fear, because I thought if I got a horrible letter like that, that my world was going to end. And my parents left me at a very early age, and I really didn't have anybody. So I figured out my own way in a lot of scenarios, and a lot of them caused me a lot of fear, a lot of stress. But what I've learned through all of that is nobody can take your life away. I mean, unless you commit a crime or something like that. But for something like that, you just have to face it. Shelley's one of the people that have taught me that more than anybody, because she's fearless when it comes to things like that. If somebody sends her something or tells her she's got 24 hours to do this or 15 minutes to do that, she just looks at him and says, now listen. And she faces it head on. But that's, that's a gift, honey. That's a gift, yep, that we all don't have. And we're fearful that we don't have any rights in that arena, and that's wrong. That's a mistake. You do have rights, and you do have an opportunity to show your side of a story.
All right. Well, one of the things that I found, and it was just because I'm one of these people, I don't like to wait for the other shoe to drop, so I go over and I throw it on the floor myself, so to speak.
That's a good analogy, yes.
when I'm in the middle of something, like you said, if I get a letter in the mail or I get a phone call, instead of avoiding it, which causes all kinds of stress, I speak to the people and I say, look, this is my situation. This is what you want from me. You can take additional steps, but this is the reality. I'll work with you and we'll come to some sort of compromise. And 99 times out of 100, it's worked out well. People have cooperated with me, businesses. I even had a situation with the IRS, but because I didn't avoid the letters, because I returned phone calls or I took phone calls or I responded to letters within days of getting them, people will cooperate with you. When they see that you're not trying to avoid them, even businesses like the IRS will work with you. What happens is that people don't know what to say. They don't know how to handle a particular situation. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, so they try to ignore it. And that is the worst thing you can do, because when any kind of a business feels that they can't get in touch with you, that's when they go into the legal system, and then they start going after you big time. And then you have all other kinds of fees that pile on top of it, that type of thing. So I learned over the course of a 10-year period to just respond quickly. And sometimes I would be in conversations with somebody for years before something was resolved, but because I would take their calls and because I would keep in touch with them, they just kind of kept working with me. And so it going into it, I didn't know that's how it was going to turn out, but I learned it over the years. So now that's just how I handle myself, and it's worked in a broad variety of situations and a broad variety of different types of businesses and, you know, things that happen. I'm in a much better place now, but there was about a 10-year period there that I had a lot of different situations popped up that would have been very, very stressful if I had handled them differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think stress, of course, if you've never heard this before, which I'm sure you have, stress is a killer in every mm-hmm. sense of the word. It kills you. It kills your relationships. It kills your happiness. It kills everything. And stress is mostly due to not facing a situation,
right,
pretending like it's going to go away and knowing that it isn't.
It's
a very, very stressful way to live your life.
It's kind of off topic a little bit, but I'll just make this one comment and then get back on topic. But it's one of the interesting things about the way our brain works is that when you think of something and then you don't have a solution to it and you go on to something else in your day, your brain continues working on whatever that problem is. Have you ever tried to figure something out and you're not getting it, so you say, all right, I'll work on this later, and then you go and you work on other things, and then a couple of hours later, all of a sudden the solution to that prior issue all of a sudden just comes to you, and now all of a sudden you know how to handle it, or something you were trying to remember, all of a sudden it just pops into your mind. That's because your brain continues working on the problem. But it's the same thing with issues and problems that you have, like, say, with being in trouble with something, meaning financial trouble or legal trouble, all right? If you ignore that call, your brain already registers that somebody's trying to get in touch with you. And that angst, that worry, is just going to get magnified in the background. And what it does is it builds stress in the body. That's why taking the call or answering the letter can actually relieve some of that. And if you just call the person and say, look, I don't know how to take care of this, but this is my situation, I don't want to ignore your letter, how can we work this out? If they see that you're trying to cooperate, they'll cooperate back with you. But if you don't answer it at all, your brain already knows that you got that thing or that somebody's trying to get in touch with you, so you're like in limbo. In your brain, mm-hmm. it never disconnects from that problem, and you stay entrenched in it 24/7. And that's why people that have issues like that just go to this spiral down effect where the worry just becomes overwhelming to them.
That's right, and that's what creates all the stress. However, the whole point of facing these situations head on, which a lot of people do as well, they're fighters, they're survivors, and they, you know, they draw the line in the sand. And I'm not sure that that's always the way to handle your affairs. I've never been, I have drawn a line in the sand before. It's not my favorite thing to do. I would rather draw a circle, and we both stand in it until we've rectified the problem. That's mm-hmm. my way of doing things,
mm-hmm.
but I have done the other. But what bothers me and what hurts me as a 60, almost 66-year-old woman today is that there's too much intimidation, too much aggression, too much power being wielded by people that don't deserve power. So they don't handle it. They don't, it's like giving a gun to a five-year-old. Now, a lot of people in our world today carry guns. Our enforcement people carry guns. All of our armed forces, that was one of the things Josh was so excited about, being trained to handle an M16, which made me shiver when I thought about it, but he did it. And at least now I don't have to fear the fact that he doesn't know anything about them. If he ever had his hands on them again, I'd know he'd know what he was doing. But all of those kind of things, that kind of power is given out without enough training, without enough information. Everything that snowballed out of control for Kerry, everything that snowballs out of control for a lot of people that get immersed in some kind of a scenario like that where there's somebody else that's going to tell you what you're going to do. It's scary if the person telling you what to do is just a power monger and not an educated informer.
That's right.
Right? I mean, if you're going to tell me what to do, I have to believe you know more about it than I do. But that's me. If you're gonna counsel me or look at me and say, now, Rini, you should be doing this, this, and this, and if I feel totally dunsified in, that's a new word, by the way, dunsified in that arena, I'll probably listen to you. But if I don't feel that way and you start telling me the way I'm supposed to do this and I'm supposed to do that, I'm probably going to listen because that's my style, and then I'm going to walk away and never think about what you said to me again. But that's the 65-year-old Rini. That's not the 25-year-old Rini.
Yeah.
The 25-year-old Rini never believed anybody would tell her anything that wasn't true or righteous or the way it was supposed to be.
Right.
I didn't
exactly.
even go there.
Yeah, I was.
Now I know
too.
Better. You know, now I know better. Now I know there's a lot of people out there who do not, in any way, shape, or form, have Rini's best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm. Even while they're smiling,
right.
patting you on the back, I'm telling you they do.
Exactly. And then, once they get past that step, like with Kerry, once this young woman talked to Kerry, got Kerry to sign all the papers, sees that she's in, or maybe she's too dumb to see that. I don't know. I never laid eyes on this girl. If I were to evaluate everything that I know about it, I would say to you that she was certainly not trained the way she should have been trained. But I don't know that for sure. Maybe she was trained the way they wanted her to be trained, and they said, you get these babies whenever you can. I don't care how you do it. If that was the case, then she got good training for the job she did for Kerry. But I think that they become the aggressor. They become the bully. And then they think they have the upper hand, and they utilize it. And very sadly, because of some of the things we talked about earlier this week, the antiquity involved in a lot of our laws, they're getting away with it.
Right.
They're really getting away with it. I mean, if you look at the news this past week, every day, every morning I wake up and I listen to the news. Now, all the stuff that we've heard about the young man who got shot by the cop, right? Michael Brown, I believe his name was, and shot six times. And then we heard that he was attacking the cop, and the cop had a broken cheekbone. And then we heard all this other stuff. Now, this morning on the 5 o'clock news was they're questioning the integrity, the professionalism of this whole police force in this small town. That if they go back through the records, there's lots of, there's lots of stuff being done there that is, that's not good, you know. So now they're evaluating all of that. So
wow.
you know, it makes you, you, but who knows if that's true, honey? Who knows if that's the truth?
Yeah,
who knows?
That frustrates me about media coverage, because they keep throwing out suppositions and innuendos. It's like, just tell me what the frickin' facts are. If you don't know what the facts are, stop throwing all these other stories out there. You know, the cop was injured, the cop wasn't injured. He had a broken cheekbone, but there's no x-rays. They say the x-rays don't show that. So why would you say his eye socket was fractured and then he was left almost unconscious and then not produce the x-rays? And if they don't exist, then why make that comment to begin with? I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know. And the whole thing is that being beaten enough to be dazed, you don't have to have broken bones in your face to be beaten enough to be dazed. So the cop still could have been dazed and justified, but, you know, but then you start throwing out all this other nonsense, and it just muddies the water as to, like, what are the facts are. Because every time you put a fact out there and it turns out not to be true, then it starts making you doubt all the other facts around that. So we're sitting here now. We don't know what the truth is. Did he have his hands up? Was he trying to surrender? Was he attacking the cop? Did the cop get injured? Did the cop not get injured? You know, you have all these contradictory facts out there now. So what do you believe? What is the real situation here?
Well, that's my whole point. It's like, you know, once you really muddy the waters, that's why I've always loved that old saying, muddying the waters. What happens then is nobody ever really sees what's going on. Never.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You really, literally cannot see through muddy waters. So you
That's
don't
right.
know even how many people are playing in the game. You don't even know how many outside influences are involved, because the waters are so muddied, nobody can tell the difference between the good guys and the bad guys anymore.
That's right. And you can't tell if there's a shark about ready to bite you.
That's exactly the point. Exactly
yep.
the point. And you know, I wanted to read, and I kind of feel this way too, and just with this sentiment alone, I cannot believe that there hasn't been more notoriety involved in this. On Facebook this morning, there is somebody who's been at a, I don't know, it looks like some kind of a presentation or something. The headline says, Holding Camden Hostage. Camden is Carrie's little boy's name. New Age slavery is all about the money. Gentle Care Adoption Agency claims they are out $17,000 plus for an adoption that never happened. Carrie wanted her son back and asked for him. The adoptive couple gave Camden back to Gentle Care so they could return Camden to his mother. But instead of giving Camden to his mother, Gentle Care placed Camden in foster care. After Gentle Care refused to give Camden to his mother, she, Carrie, went public. Now they're claiming she damaged their reputation as an adoption agency and will not return him to her. So here's my question. Where is the protection? Forget Carrie. Obviously, nobody cares. But where's the protection for Camden? Where's his protection? Where are all the children advocates that we hear about all the time? Where are they? Right?
I know. And you think that Child Protective Services would jump in and have some jurisdiction over this?
Well, that's what I'm not getting.
Yeah,
so
I'm not getting that either.
Either Gentle Care has longer strings. Obviously, they're financially good because they've been selling babies for $30,000 to $50,000 a pop. So money is probably not a big issue for them. And, of course, money is an as an individual fighting this, money is an issue because courts and sticking up for yourself today is not cheap. It
right.
is not cheap. And even from a lawyer's point of view, every time a lawyer asks for records that are not his personal records, he's getting records from a courthouse, from any kind of an organization, what do they call the places where you go and do depositions and stuff, recording offices and things like that. Costs him money. Sometimes $5 a sheet of paper, and sometimes there's 1,000 sheets of paper.
Exactly.
With right?
Exactly. Yep.
We're talking a lot of money. And, of course, we all know, now that we're over the age of 7, that the world runs on money. And at the end of the day, it's all about the money. But what hurts me with this is this could have been stopped. This could have been fixed. This could have been rectified to the happiness of several people.
Right.
Instead of drawing the line in the sand and being the bully, which is what GentleCare did.
That's right.
You and I have both, since we started talking about this on the show, you and I have talked a lot to friends of ours. Shocking to find out how many of our friends that we've known for a long time were adopted.
Yeah.
Nobody ever talks about it because most of them don't think of themselves as adopted. They just, this is my mom and dad. This has been my mom and dad since I was, as long as I can remember, this has been my mom and dad. I just found out I was adopted 2 years ago, one lady said to me, and she's in her 60s. And I said, why
wow.
did you find out? Because her last surviving parent passed, and it was in her records, and that's how she found out. Her parents never told her.
Huh.
And her life was perfect. I mean, she had ups and downs. She had successes. She had failures, just like all of us. And as far as she was concerned, that man and woman were her mom and dad. So it can be what it was set up to be, a beautiful thing, to help the person who can't reproduce, and the person who can reproduce but can't raise. The scenario in itself is a beautiful one and a good answer to something that can be a big problem. However, once it becomes only about money, it stops being wonderful. It stops being anything but a business deal. And I thought, like this woman writes, that Lincoln, way back when, abolished slave trade and slavery. I mean, I know it still goes on. We read about it all the time. Somebody has been approaching me about a young girl in a third world country that she found out. I don't know how she found out, but she emailed me and wants me to get involved and sent me a picture of a 5-year-old girl who is being sold. And I don't even know what to do with that information, to be honest with you. But that in itself, that I don't know who to tell her to call or anything, bothers me. Doesn't it bother you to think that there isn't something already set up that's going to protect that little girl, just like protecting...
Well, in the United States... is, but in other countries, unfortunately, there's not, human trafficking and selling of people is very commonplace in many areas of the world. It's, people see other people as property, as subservient, as less entitled to, freedoms and things like that. So it's another reason why we should really... be more appreciative of our freedoms and not take them for granted, because the United States, you know, people don't wake up and start really becoming more self-aware and more appreciative of what they have, we could lose it here too. You know, we're not immune to it, and if people don't start getting their sensitivities back and start acting better, we could end up turning into not a safe haven anymore here. When you talk about companies like what this company is doing, and you talk about the lack of ethics and putting money before people, that's basically what human trafficking is about. They're putting money before people. They're not thinking about what's best for this little boy, all right? They can make themselves whole, like I said, by demanding some compensation for her change. She did make a mistake, okay?
Yeah.
She even admits she made a mistake, all right? So there has to be a monetary figure that will make the company whole again, and then you give the child back. That would have been the correct scenario. It doesn't have to drag out for years and years and years and going back and forth and them not speaking to her, you know. And the other thing I don't understand is why do attorneys always have to get involved and then nobody can talk to each other? You know, I'm calling you up. This is the situation. Work with me. Let's get this handled on both sides of the coin. They both could have walked out as winners. She could have had her son back, and they could have had some compensation for what they did, even if she had to pay it off over time, you know. I don't understand why it was handled the way it was. Even for the sake of holding on to the money, she's not ruining their reputation. They're ruining their own reputation. The way they're handling the aftermath, they're ruining their own reputation. You know, so I find this whole thing mind-boggling. The only thing I don't understand is this woman who made the comment about slave trade. I'm not getting that with what's happening to the little boy. He's not being sold to be subservient to somebody else. He's being sold to be a child to somebody. That's more like human trafficking than slave trade. So I'm not understanding her analogy to saying this is slave trade is to just having a child in your home.
Well, and of course you're right. I mean, this is for shock value, I'm sure. And she doesn't really call it slave trade. She calls it New Age slavery. I called it the abolishment of slave trade way back with Lincoln.
But still used the word slavery.
She used what's on the front of, and I don't know that she wrote it. Let's make that clear. This is on a Facebook page. It says, and it's a setup with adoption by Gentle Care. So it's their booth at one of those kind of like, I don't know, fairs or something. And posted inside of the picture says, New Age slavery is all about the money. And of course, you're right. But you don't know that either. You don't know what kind of a life a baby's going to have after it's adopted if all it's about is the money. And if you have enough money to pay for it, who knows what they're going to use the baby for? There's the truth.
Right.
Right. But of course, you're right about that. That makes an innuendo that will always be hard to take back. I am in touch with Carrie, and she is going to talk on the show tomorrow, but she's texted me some things. She feels that she's very sad, obviously, and the family gave Camden back when he was only 3 weeks old. And Gentle Care kept him. And he's 5 months old now. He turned 5 months old on Monday. So she also feels that it's not just about the money. They want to punish her because she defamed Gentle Care, and she exposed them for the things that they're doing. And she said that there was, she was told that their words, the adoptive family, they were concerned about the psychological effect it would have on my baby, keeping him from his mom. They thought she was going to get him back, and they didn't give him back. And Carrie and her family offered to buy him back, which is sick, but they said no. and she didn't have anything to do with that. Other people trying to help her did, you know.
Right.
But the I guess the point is here that I'm struggling with is where, I mean, even gas stations, hotels, stores have a certain caliber of professionalism that is monitored by outside entities to make sure that they are doing the job that they profess to be doing, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you've got inspectors, OSHA. I managed hotels for a long time. OSHA is your biggest nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, really. OSHA walks in and you've got some little chicky boom boom that just hired to work in the front office and she's got sandals on and you get a fine. So
right.
What happened to who is watching the adoption agencies? Is it governmental? Is it state?
Yeah, that's what we discussed that one day. I mean, what regulatory agency overlooks them and sets the standards? I can't believe there's not a standard.
And if an organization like General Care has been so defamed, then why are they still in business? I mean, does that even make sense? If it's Mei Zhang's Chinese cuisine down here on the corner and they found a rat in her kitchen, she'd be closed tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, I see a lot more than a rat in the kitchen here.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
That's right. Yeah,
I'm
struggling with this whole scenario because their actions don't make sense on a humanitarian level, on a business level, as far as I'm concerned, ethical, moral. I mean, this whole scenario does not make sense to me of why Gentle Care is handling it the way they are.
Well, I don't get it either. There is a petition, though, on my Facebook page that I'm going to ask. I have already asked, but I will do it again to have all my friends share when they see my Facebook page and see the petition. It's a change.org petition, and you sign it, and it will go to the it's already got 700 signatures, and it will go to the governor and senators in Dublin, Ohio. And this may help change some of the laws. And we both know that bureaucracy, of course, is one of our biggest convolutions we have in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sorting through it and putting A, B, C, D on all of the separate entities, I think, is an impossible task. But it would seem to me that one of the most important things, one of the most important organizations that we have out there today, aside from things like the mental health departments and the Department of Family and Children and all those things that have big responsibilities and get ridiculed and get examined to a fault all the time, an adoption agency should be up there in the top 10 that are examined on a regular basis, shouldn't they?
Yep. Yep. Well, see, weren't we talking on one of the shows about the fact that each state has different rules with regard to the length of time? Like, there's one state that's either 1 or 2 years that the birth parent can change their mind, and in other states it's like a matter of a couple of weeks. Didn't we discuss that on one of the shows? That state
mm-hmm.
to state, that there are actually laws in one direction or another, and we were wondering why that wasn't something that was more federally mandated and consistent between the states.
Well, Well, why? Did we come up with it? I do remember talking about this, but I don't understand why there should be any differences. I mean, shouldn't the laws in regard to accepting accepting the responsibility of finding a new home for a child that can't be kept with the birth parents, shouldn't that be up there in the top three most important things that are governed?
Mm-hmm.
She said it should be, Shelley. State-by-state laws has a lot to do with politics. It's a billion-dollar industry. Amen.
Yep.
She also says that adoption by general care is telling people that Carrie is mentally ill, and that's why they're hiding Camden from her. Of course, I think in order I don't know what's going on with their court case because we haven't talked in a while. I've been so busy with everything going on here. We've said hello a lot of mornings, but we haven't really talked. And, of course, I've been signing all the petitions and doing anything that Claudia puts up on mostly on Facebook, but I've gone to some of her other sites. She, on her front page, it says, I rant at musings of the lame, exposing adoption truths. And she has been through some of this herself. Carrie has filed an appeal in court to be heard again. But apparently, Carrie, does this mean that you didn't get anywhere with the first court case? We're there now. We'll take a couple of months, she writes to me. So she's she's going to talk on the show tomorrow.
Oh, good.
And,
good.
She and I are going to talk in a few minutes. When the show is over, we're down to 2 minutes. But we're going to talk, and I'll get some more answers, but I'd like to, if there's anybody listening out there who has any more information in regard to adoption agencies and who governs them, and I do think we did find out, I do think we did find out that it was a state-to-state regulatory kind of a process,
right.
And she says to me now, the judge didn't want to make this decision. He's a coward. And so now we've filed in the 10th District Court of Appeals. So this has gotten to be, Carrie could also use some funds. She's got a GoFundMe site. If anybody's in a position to help with that, she would really appreciate that. And all of you can join my Facebook page, and you'll always know what's going on with Carrie because I share all of the information that the ladies send to me. And we're on Carrie's side, point blank. We are on Carrie's side. This is not fair. This is not, should not be legal. And I think we need to address this with all the other stupid things that we talk about all the time and that we get upset about. This has got to be one of the most important things that I've ever been a part of. And I want to make sure that this adorable little boy ends up. If you could see all the pictures of Carrie's other children and see the happiness and the sweetness that is so obvious in these pictures, you would understand why this hurts my heart for her not to have this baby. So,
right.
And by the way, if there's one of you moms out there that is perfect and above anything like this ever happening to you, please call me because I want to meet you. So God bless everybody. Have a great, great, great day. We'll be back tomorrow with some more on this subject and a couple other ones. God bless everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks, Shel.
Thanks, Renee. Thanks, everyone. I look forward to speaking with Carrie tomorrow, and God bless everyone. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.